If you spend any time at all in the crypto world, whether you're, scouring Discord, doom scrolling X, you know the acronym, it's got to be the single most abused four-letter combination in the entire space. DYOR. Do your own research.
Oh, yeah. It's the ultimate liability shield, right? It's what every influencer slaps on the end of a tweet just after they predict a 100x on some coin.
Just so they don't get sued when it goes to zero.
Exactly.
Not financial advice, DYOR. It's become this reflex. But here's the real problem, and honestly, why we're doing this deep dive today. Most people hear DYOR and they think it means go check the price chart.
Or maybe read the homepage.
Right. Or worse, go ask the people in the Telegram chat what they think.
And that's not research. That's just looking for validation. And in a market this wild, validation is a very, very expensive hobby.
So that's what we're going to do today. We're going to strip away the buzzword. We've got this really comprehensive guide on staying safe in crypto, and we're zoning in on two sections, the architect of due diligence and the digital diligence protocol.
Yeah, the goal here is to get tactical. We're not just telling you to research. We're going to break down how you actually do it step by step. So you stop being, the exit liquidity for someone else.
That's the mission. Because we have to be honest, crypto is, it's an adversarial environment.
It's the Wild West, for sure. But with, way better marketing. And there are no safety nets. If you buy a scam, there's no 1-800 number to call to get your money back.
Right. You are the bank. Which means you also have to be the bank's head of security.
And risk manager. And the compliance department. It's all on you. And in this world, information is, it's asymmetric. The insiders, the devs, they all know more than you. So this framework, this architect of due diligence, it's about trying to level that playing field.
I like that. It's about moving from being a gambler to being an investor.
Exactly. You verify the foundation before you step inside the building.
Okay, so let's get into the how. The source material really hammers home one word above all others, independent.
Yes. Independent verification. This is, I think, where 90% of people fail. They rely on, call it aggregated sentiment. They think, well, this guy I follow on X has 200,000 followers and he said it's a good project.
So that counts as research?
No, it doesn't. It's the social proof trap.
The guide uses this analogy that I think really hits home. It's like buying a car.
Mm-hmm.
You don't just walk onto the lot and buy the first shiny thing the salesman points at.
Yeah.
You check consumer reports, you look for recalls, you compare prices.
I mean, I spend hours watching YouTube reviews just to buy a new microphone.
Exactly. But then you see people throw thousands of dollars at a meme coin because the logo is a funny dog.
Yeah.
The disconnect is just, it's wild.
It is. And the rule of thumb from the source is it's a little brutal, but it's necessary. If you can't explain it, don't invest.
Okay. But that's a high bar, right?
Okay.
I mean, some of this tech is really dense. You've got ZK rollups, optimistic bridges, all this complex stuff. Does the average person really need to understand the code?
No. No, you don't need to be a developer. But you do need to understand the logic. The logic of how it makes money and the logic of where the risk is. See, for a lot of scams, confusion is a feature, not a bug.
So they want to be confusing.
Of course. If the white paper sounds impressive but doesn't actually say anything, that's a huge red flag.
Hmm.
If you can't explain in simple terms where the yield is coming from, then you are the yield.
The old saying, if you can't spot the sucker at the table, it's you.
That's the one.
Okay, so we've got the mindset, trust nothing, verify everything. Now, the source breaks this down into four pillars of investigation. Let's start with pillar one, the team.
This is the starting line. It's always who is building this.
And we have to talk about the elephant in the room here, anonymity. In TradFi, if a CEO wore a mask to an earnings call, you'd call the SEC. In crypto, it's normal.
It's a very unique part of the culture, for sure. I mean, we all know Satoshi was anonymous. But the source makes a really good point distinguishing between a reputable Anon and just a random Anon.
Right. There's a big difference. A dev who has a wallet history going back 5 years is one thing. A brand new Twitter account called CryptoGod69 is something else entirely.
Exactly. So the guide suggests looking for docs teams first, people with public identities. It creates accountability. If they pull the rug, their reputation is toast.
And there are legal consequences.
Potentially, yeah. But if they're anonymous, you have to dig deeper. Check their GitHub.
And here's a great tip from the source. Don't just look at the GitHub repository.
Look at the frequency of the commits.
Yes.
Scammers are lazy. They'll often just copy paste or fork another project's code, upload it once, and then nothing. You want to see activity, daily commits. multiple people contributing.
And for docs, teams, don't just trust the team page on their website. I've seen projects list huge names as advisors just because they happen to own some of the token.
Or they use AI-generated headshots. It's so easy to check. Do a reverse image search on their photos, check their LinkedIn. But don't just stop there. Check if the companies they list on LinkedIn are even real.
All right, so we vet the humans. Okay, pillar two, the product. This seems so obvious, but in a bull market, people just, they buy promises.
The coming soon trap. It's everywhere. The source says you should basically discount any future promise by about 90%.
Yeah.
Focus on what's real right now. Is there a minimum viable product? Can I actually use something today?
And my favorite question, does this product actually need a token? It's like Uber, but for dog walkers on the blockchain.
Why?
Exactly, why?
That's the classic solution in search of a problem. If they're just tacking on decentralized to a Web2 idea without solving a real trust issue, it's usually just a way for the founders to get rich.
Which is the perfect segue to pillar three. And I want to spend a minute here because this is where I think most retail investors just get absolutely crushed. Tokenomics.
Without a doubt. You can have a great team, a working product, but if the tokenomics are predatory, the price is going to zero. It's just a matter of time.
The number everyone looks at is price, or maybe market cap. But the source says we need to be looking at FDV. Fully diluted valuation. Can you break that down for us? Why is that gap between market cap and FDV so dangerous?
Sure. So let's say a token is a dollar. The market cap is, say, $10 million. That seems cheap, right? But that only counts the tokens that are actually in circulation right now.
Yep.
What if only 1% of the total tokens have been unlocked and the other 99% are sitting in wallets for the team and the early investors waiting to be unlocked later?
Then the fully diluted valuation
is $1 billion.
Wow. So you think you're buying a $10 million project, but you're actually buying into a $1 billion valuation.
And as soon as those locked tokens start to unlock, what happens? The supply floods the market, and basic economics tells you when supply goes way up,
price goes way down.
You need to check the vesting schedule. That's the key term. You're looking for the cliff.
The cliff, that's the waiting period before the insiders can start selling.
Exactly. You want to see long cliffs, like a year or 2 years. But even more important is the emission rate after the cliff. Is it a slow, gradual release, or is it a waterfall of tokens hitting the market all at once?
But I feel like we see this all the time with those high APY farm tokens.
Oh, absolutely. They promise you 10,000% APY, but to pay that out, they have to print new tokens like crazy. It's just hyperinflation. Your personal stack of tokens is being diluted into worthlessness every single second.
So for tokenomics, the checklist is check the FDV, check the unlock schedule, and figure out where the sell pressure is coming from.
And on the flip side, ask what creates buy pressure? What's the utility? Does holding the token give me a share of the protocol's revenue? Can I use it for governance? Do I get a discount on fees? If the only utility is, you know, governance for a project that doesn't even need voting, then the token is useless.
Brutal. Okay, but pillar four, the community. Now, this is interesting because usually community in crypto makes me think of like a cult.
Right, but the source says you should be looking for the exact opposite of a cult.
You're looking for skeptics.
You are looking for skeptics. This is what they call the echo chamber test.
Okay, so how do you run that test?
It's simple. You join their Discord or their Telegram, and you don't just look at the main chat where everyone's posting rocket emojis. You look for the tough questions. Or, better yet, you ask one.
Like what?
Hey, I was looking at the Block Explorer, and I noticed the team wallet is unlocking next month. What's the plan for those funds?
And then you see if you get instantly banned.
Exactly. If the moderators call you a FUDder and ban you, or if the community just attacks you without answering the question, you run. You run away fast. That's toxic positivity. It means they're hiding something.
A real project should welcome those kinds of questions.
A real project wants to explain its strengths. You also want to look for real discussion. Are people talking about the tech? Are they debating governance proposals? Or is it just 5,000 bots all typing LFG great projects, sir, over and over?
The bot comments are always so obvious. Sir, this project is having very good fundamentals.
It's just noise. It's fake activity. You want to see real humans arguing about real things. A little bit of friction is actually a good sign. It means people care.
Okay, so those are the four pillars. Team, product, tokenomics, community. Now let's talk red flags. The immediate do not touch signs at the top of the list from the source, guaranteed returns.
This should be obvious, but greed is a powerful drug. There is no such thing as a guaranteed return in any market, ever, let alone crypto. If someone promises you 1% daily ROI, it is a Ponzi scheme.
100% of the time.
The math just requires it to be. It only works until new money stops coming in to pay out the old money. The second you see the word guaranteed, just close the browser tab.
What about urgency tactics? Those countdown timers? Pre-sale ends in 5 minutes. Buy now.
That's just basic marketing psychology. It's designed to make you panic and bypass the logical part of your brain. A real investment opportunity does not disappear in 5 minutes. If they're pressuring you to buy now, it's because they need your money to cash out.
And of course, influencers, the KOLs.
Key opinion leaders. Yeah, this is where it gets really murky. Your default assumption has to be that any influencer talking about a small cap coin is being paid to do it.
So when they tweet, this is the next 100X, they're not sharing a secret.
They're pumping their own bags. They got a huge allocation of tokens for cheap or for free. And now their job is to create hype so they can sell those tokens to their followers at a higher price.
You, the follower, are their exit liquidity.
In many, many cases, yes. Treat it like a paid TV commercial, not as a trusted recommendation.
I want to ground all this with a story from the source material. This tale of two investors, Mike and Dana. I love this because I think we've all been Mike at some point.
Oh, 100%. Mike is the classic Diggin. It's late at night. He's scrolling Twitter. He sees a token is trending.
The FOMO just hits him like a truck. His heart starts pounding. He thinks, if I don't buy this right now, I'm going to miss the big one.
So he skips the white paper, doesn't check the team, doesn't even look at the contract. He just goes straight to Uniswap and market buys $500 worth of whatever it is.
And he feels like a genius. For about 6 hours.
Right. Now contrast that with Dana. Dana hears about the same project, but she pauses. She actually goes to the Block Explorer. She looks at the contract. She clicks on the holders tab.
What's she looking for there?
She's looking for wallet concentration. And she sees that the top five wallets hold 60% of the entire supply. That's a huge red flag. Then she looks for an audit report. Not just a little badge on the website. She finds the actual PDF.
That sounds like work. That sounds boring.
It is boring. But here's the difference. A week later, the developers of that project dump all their tokens. The price crashes 99%. Mike loses his $500 and probably complains that crypto is a scam. Dana, she never invested in the first place.
So the win wasn't making money. The win was not losing money.
Survival is the number one skill in crypto investing. You can't compound your gains if your portfolio goes to zero. Dana's process is a defense mechanism. Mike is playing the lottery. Dana is building a portfolio.
One thing about Dana's research that stood out to me, the source says she specifically looked for the bear case.
This might be my favorite tip in the whole guide. When you find a project you like, don't just Google why token name is the future. Google token name scam or token name risks.
You actively seek out the smartest person who hates the project and you listen to their arguments.
Exactly. Find the critics. Maybe they're wrong, maybe they're just spreading FUD. But a lot of the time, they'll point out a real flaw in the tokenomics or the tech that the project's marketing team conveniently forgot to mention. If you can understand the absolute worst case argument against your investment and you still feel confident,
then you have real conviction.
Then you have conviction. And that conviction is what allows you to hold through a 50% drop in price without panic selling. If you know the fundamentals are solid, a price drop is just a discount. If you're just gambling on hype, a price drop is terrifying.
Okay, let's wrap this all up into a final checklist. The digital diligence protocol. Our listener is about to hit buy. What are the final questions they should ask themselves?
It's three simple questions. Number one, has the code been audited by a reputable firm? And reputable is the key word there, a top-tier firm, not some random PDF you found.
Okay. Number two.
Am I buying this because of my research or am I buying this because of FOMO? You have to be brutally honest with yourself. If your heart is racing because you see green candles, just step away from the keyboard for a bit.
And the third question?
Who is the exit liquidity? If you can't clearly explain who is going to buy this token from you at a higher price in the future and why they would do that, then the exit liquidity is probably you.
Oof, that's a sobering thought.
It has to be. You know, the source ends with this scenario. Imagine you're in a group chat and someone just says, dude, just buy it. Don't worry about what it does. Trust me.
Yeah, it's the alarm bell.
That is the loudest siren in all of finance. In the real world, if a stranger on the street came up and said, hey, give me your wallet, don't ask questions, I promise I'll bring it back with more money in it, you would laugh at them.
Or run.
Yeah, or run. Yet in crypto, people do the digital version of that every single day. They just hand over their financial keys to anonymous strangers. DYOR is about taking that control back. It's about respecting your own money.
Be the architect, not the gambler.
That's it. Build a solid foundation, one that can survive the inevitable crypto winter, so you're still around to enjoy the summer.
Well, that's the mission. The market's going to do what it's going to do, but you don't have to get swept away by it. Slow down, do the work, and stay safe out there. Thanks for deep diving with us today.
Anytime.
We'll see you in the next one.